Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the river of wisdom. This is part two of a two-part series on which is the best sadhana or yajna in the Bhagavad Gita. Through sadhanas, we seek to transform ourselves. It is a quiet inner revolution by which the way you interact with yourself and the world changes for the better. You begin to really enjoy this version of yourself as a person and are happy and proud of the person you are growing to be. In part one, we listened to the connection between sadhana, the means, and sadhya, the goal, as well as the four types of yajnas or sadhanas. Extending the metaphor of yajna or a religious discipline, a fire ritual offering, we saw one, jnana yajna, offering the ahankara, the self-concept, born of ignorance unto the knowledge of Brahman. Two, daiva yajna, offering materials to devatas. Three, samyama yajna, offering senses into the fire of samyama, mastery over the senses. Four, indriya agni yajna, offering the objects of the senses into the fire of indriya's senses. Five, dravya yajna, giving as offering into the fire of Brahman. In this episode of part two, the other yajnas we will see are 6, tapo yajna, offering of tapas or prayerful discipline unto Brahman. 7, ashtanga yoga yajna, the path of ashtanga yoga, 8-limbed yoga, offered unto Brahman. 8, swadhyaya yajna, offering of the regular study of the Veda scriptures under qualified teachers unto Brahman. 9, pranayama yajna, offering of regulation of prana unto Ishvara. 10, niyata ahara yajna, offering of food unto the digestive fire Ishvara. We hear about what they are and see the necessity of performing them for purity of mind and come to which is the best yajna or sadhana. So continuing, 6, tapo yajna, religious austerities, offering of tapas, prayerful discipline unto Brahman. Tapas refers to any kind of prayerful discipline involving denial, undertaken for the sake of atonement or discipline. The vows that one takes are also tapas. Such people are called tapo yajnas. Tapas is not just any discipline, it is a prayerful discipline. Otherwise, even jogging and aerobics would become yajnas, as some denial of comfort is involved. For example, some people take a vow of not eating on Ekadashi, the 11th day of each month, and spend the day in prayer. If one spends too much time thinking of food and planning for the feasting that comes after the fasting, then it may not be tapas. How so? We are drawn to what gives us pleasure and comfort, be it your comfort food, walking with footwear, using our time for mindless entertainment. And so to neutralize our raga towards comforts, we deliberately fast for a length of time or walk barefoot or long distances, like on a tirtha yatra, or use the time deliberately for japa. Tapas involves saying no to whatever one regularly does. For the Yatra to Sabarimala, men take a vratam of 41 days. They sleep on the floor, do not use footwear, wear black clothes, and for the Yatra walk 48 miles. For Shivaratri vratam, one foregoes sleep for the whole night unlike other nights and spends it in prayer. Here the attitude is religious and therefore the punya obtained is limited and it is for antakarna shuddhi, a neutralization of our ragas and dveshas. Ashtanga yoga, the bath of Ashtanga yoga, eight-limbed yoga offered unto Brahman. Seekers who follow Ashtanga yoga, eight-limbed yoga, are called yoga yajnas. Rishi Patanjali defined the eight limbs as yama, abstinences from adharma such as ahimsa, non-harming, etc. Niyama, observances of dharma such as shaucham, external and internal cleanliness, etc. Asanas, postures for flexibility, strength, endurance and stamina. Pranayama, different ways of regulating the breath. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses into oneself. Dharana, focused concentration on an object or Bhagavan. Dhyana, meditation. And Samadhi, resolution of the meditator into the meditated. Ashtanga yoga is a prayerful discipline which is seen to have come from Bhagavan, carried forward by a lineage of rishis, gurus and acharyas. Naturally, the Lord is worshipped. The asana of Surya Namaskara is a form of worship to Surya Devata. There were mantras for a lot of asanas earlier, but these have been lost in time. Ishvara Pranidhanam is one of the prescribed observances, niyamas. Swadhyaya, study of oneself in the light of the scriptures, is also a niyama, an observance. Yoga taught as a part of a lineage cannot be taught without the worship of Ishvara. With a strong dharmika and ethical foundation of life, the body becomes strong and disciplined through yogasanas. There is composure of the mind through pranayama and greater focus through pratyahara and dhyana. If just the discipline of asanas daily brings so much well-being into one's life, then how much more will the entire system of Ashtanga yoga help? Because of the popularity of yoga, most people think that it is the last word in spirituality. However, Bhagavan Krishna considers it as one of the great disciplines for preparation for Vedanta. 7. Swadhyaya Yajna, offering of the regular study of the Veda scriptures under qualified teachers unto Brahman. Most of us are descendants of a particular rishi and our gotra name reveals that. If you do not belong to the Bhartiya culture, then you can claim to be from the Kashyapa Gotra or the Bharadvaja Gotra. Each Gotra has a Veda that the descendants have worked hard to preserve as it is a part of their sacred duty. How? By learning the Veda and most importantly learning to chant and recite their own Veda. The transmission of Vedas being an oral tradition has detailed rules for pronunciation, intonation, sequence of memorization, etc. to ensure that the transmission is flawless. Many Hindus allocate some time every day to chant a portion of the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam or Ramcharitmanas or sections of the Ramayana or some portion of the Shastra. This ensures that the oral tradition is preserved and that the sacred verses are always with you wherever you go. Swadhyaya Yajna refers to those who learn to chant or recite their own Veda. There are some people who, having learned the Veda in this way, do nothing but recite a portion of it daily. Such people are called Swadhyaya Yajnas, those who perform the Yajna of Swadhyaya. And those who study Vedanta, who inquire into the Vedanta Shastra, are called Jnana Yajnas, those who perform the Yajna of pursuing Jnanam, knowledge. If people do both these Yajnas, they are referred to as Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna. 8. Pranayama Yajna. Offering the discipline of pranayama unto Brahman. In the word pranayama, prana means breath and ayama means discipline. Thus, the discipline of breath control is called pranayama. This yajna helps to gain well-being and composure of the mind. Wasn't pranayama a part of Ashtanga Yoga? It is, and much more. In fact, it is a part of every puja. A pranayama is performed with mantras indicating its importance. While there are many types of pranayama, there are three types mentioned which become yajnas in the Gita. Puraka pranayama is that in which inhalation is given importance. Puraka means filling up. Thus, puraka pranayama is filling up the lungs with air through deep breathing. Prana is offered unto apana exhalation. Richaka pranayama is that in which emptying or exhalation is given importance. Richaka means emptying. Thus, Richaka pranayama is deep exhalation or expelling the air from the lungs. Here, apana exhalation is offered unto prana inhalation. The third one is Kumbhaka pranayama, wherein the focus, the importance, is on retaining the breath, neither inhalation nor exhalation. During these pauses, the air is retained inside the lungs and this is called Kumbhaka. Here, the inhalation and exhalation are offered unto the retention. This retention is called Kumbhaka, Kumbha meaning a pot. Just as water is retained in a pot, so too breath is retained in the lungs. Even the Kumbhaka is supposed to be of two types. One type is after inhalation, you retain the air for a minute or 2 minutes, which is called Antara Kumbhakam. Bahya Kumbhakam is when you pause after exhaling all the air. The duration of each of these kumbhakas depends on the relative duration of inhalation and exhalation. Because a person practicing pranayama is carefully measuring the breath, he or she does not cut short any of the three disciplines involved, that is inhalation, retention, or exhalation. Any impulse to do so is not followed by the person. He or she maintains the stipulated time. Therefore, there is yajna in the discipline. People who practice pranayama regularly have good health because their different bodily processes such as respiration, circulation, digestion, evacuation and assimilation are well regulated due to the different pranas manifesting in the body, such as prana, samana, apana, vyana, udana, and so on. Thus, pranayama abhyasa is performed as a yajna for gaining certain tranquility, alertness, and steadiness of the mind. By converting the involuntary action of breathing into a voluntary action, you come back to yourself. All you do is breathe, but by breathing deliberately, there is a discipline involved that helps you gain a steady mind. 10. Niyata Ahara Yajna. Offering food unto the fire of Jataragni, digestive fire, which is Brahman. Having discipline in eating food and offering it helps a person lead a happy and healthy life. Ahara Niyama comes in two stages. The first is quantity control, the number of times one eats, how much one eats, when one eats, depending on age, stage, and lifestyle. There is a rule governing the quantities to be eaten, which says, half of the stomach is to be filled with solids, one quarter with liquids, and one quarter is to be left empty for the movement of air. In other words, the fourth quarter is to be left alone. The second is quality control. One reduces overly spicy, overcooked, stale food and makes informed choices about fresh, wholesome vegetables, cereals and grains, pulses and fruits, and healthy fats. In disciplined eating, there is yajna because there is a desire to eat more or not to eat at all if the food that is available is not very tasty. And so not responding to the desire to eat or not to eat becomes a yajna by observing measured eating, which is why such people are called niyata aharas. They offer their desires with reference to eating unto the digestive system, which creates hunger and thirst. With more awareness of our diets and how it affects our lifestyles, some people can get obsessed about food and go on extreme diets. Some, while eating breakfast, are planning for lunch, and while eating lunch, are planning for a snack, and while doing that, they are planning for dinner. In the name of being spiritual, they are obsessing about food without even knowing it. It becomes a yajna when one has a balanced perspective towards food and nutrition, recognizing that it has all come from Bhagwan and practicing moderation. Ahara is not only what you eat through the mouth, but also the food, quote-unquote, you consume through your senses. Even though the person may still feel hungry, he or she stops after the appropriate quantities have been consumed. And if eating between meals is what is to be avoided, then the person does not even take the smallest snack, regardless of his or her hunger. Such desires for eating are offered under the fire of hunger that causes digestion. Those who follow this discipline as a yajna also live a life of prayer, in common with the other types of seekers mentioned. A life of prayer enables the seekers to gain control and self-mastery over themselves. And so, all these 10 sadhanas or yajnas can be called spiritual disciplines only if the offerings are to Ishvara and the goal is spiritual growth. A lot of these are practiced as sadhanas, for example, reading the Bhagavad Gita only for success in corporate life. Sure, the person may benefit, but it is not a yajna. No one discipline is superior to the other. Of these different yajnas, one or many may be performed depending on what one needs. There is no rule governing which disciplines are to be performed by whom. This must be noted when practicing any of these religious disciplines. A mumukshu, a person seeking moksha, is expected to have enough objectivity regarding which sadhana or yajna the person truly needs to transform oneself into a qualified receptacle for self-knowledge. Sadhakas must steer away from developing a sense of superiority because of the sadhana they are practicing. The purpose of performing all the yajnas is yajna kshapita kalmashaha, destroying the impurities and the defects of the mind. Anything that obstructs you from having a pure, calm and cheerful mind necessary for self-knowledge is a defect. What is simple and beautiful about all these sadhanas is that everyday actions such as eating, breathing, engaging with the world, self-mastery, giving, disciplined habits can all be converted into a yajna for spiritual growth by offering these unto Ishvara. if one cannot perform any of these yajnas, religious disciplines, one can neither have happiness here in this world nor even in another world. Neither does the person have the discipline to enjoy the pursuits of this world, nor will the person attain the punya necessary to go to Swarga. Further, although all these yajnas and sadhanas are enjoined by the Vedas, all yajnas are limited time-wise, place-wise, and effort-wise, and hence cannot give one the limitless that one is seeking. Really speaking, all actions are resolved into the knowledge of Brahman being Atma. Therefore, Brahma Yajna or Jnana Yajna is the only one which liberates one from the sense of bondage of life and death, sorrow and ignorance. The person sees that everything here is one non-dual Brahman, which is non-separate from him. The doer is Brahman, the object of the action karma is Brahman, and all the karakas, facilitators for action, are also Brahman the limitless. Finally, the actor itself is Brahman, and the person who has gained this vision is also Brahman. Everything is Brahman, appearing as forms. This vision makes life a luxury. Bhagavan Krishna, in describing these sadhanas, does so in the context of it being done as a qualification for moksha or self-inquiry. Being desirous of moksha, such people gain the kind of mind that can inquire and gain the knowledge of Brahman. The knower of Brahman being non-separate from Brahman, Atma already being Brahman, knowledge of this fact alone makes seekers gain Brahman. In the fourth chapter, Bhagavan introduced the topic of Jnana Yajna, saying that it was the best yajna or sadhana. Knowing that we were not quite convinced, he spoke about a lot of other sadhanas and yajnas. He finally returns to Jnana Yajna. Shriyan Dravya Mayad Yajnyat Jnana Yajna Parantapa Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyate. 4.33. Translation: Arjuna, the scorcher of foes, this discipline of knowledge is superior to religious disciplines performed with materials. Partha, that is Arjuna, all actions in its entirety get resolved in knowledge. Any ritual implies a karta, a doer, as well as various materials, and is therefore an initiator of results, whereas Jnana Yajna is swallower of all results. The pursuit of knowledge itself is the yajna, jnanam eva yajna. Because Jnana Yajna swallows the karta, the doer, it does not further perpetuate samsara. It swallows samsara, a life of becoming. Jnana Yajna does not initiate any result because it devours the notion that you are the doer. As long as you question what is the Atma along with your inference and perception, the karta, the one who inquires, infers and perceives, will remain. If, on the other hand, the karta is exposed to the teaching of Vedanta, the karta, the doer, will be swallowed. Vedanta tells the karta, you were never the karta, the doer. You think you are the karta because you do not understand what the Atma is. Doership is just a thought that comes and goes. When that thought is not there, like in deep sleep, where is the karta? Or between two thoughts, where is the karta? There is no karta. You are a karta only. You perform no action at any time. You are not the thought. you are the one behind every thought. The thought is you, no doubt, but you are free from the thought. When thought goes, you are, and when thought is there, you are. Like this, Vedanta teaches the karta that he or she is a karta, thereby knocking off the karta, the doer. Knowledge and karma are two different orders of reality. Knowledge deals with the absolute, and karma is completely swallowed by that knowledge. Also, in terms of the result achieved, there is no possibility of comparison. The result achieved by any karma is limited, and that achieved by knowledge is limitlessness itself. Jnana Yajna is said to be superior of all the yajnas because knowledge destroys all karmas, meaning that karma in its entirety resolve in knowledge. When you gain this knowledge, everything belongs to you. Karma phalas can only give you limited happiness, sukha, whereas knowledge gives you absolute happiness, paramananda. In paramananda, even the little happinesses are included, which is why Bhagavan Krishna says that karma resolves in knowledge. Jnane pari samapyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful and offering insight, I do hope you will consider sharing this with your friends, family, or on social media. Would you like to receive an email every month that will bring to you more wisdom, more happiness, and more freedom? If the answer is yes, then our monthly newsletter, Arshavidya Bharati, is for you. It has articles on living our traditions, links to podcast episodes, articles and videos published elsewhere in the month, reflections about how Vedanta is changing the life of students, announcements about events and courses, profound Sanskrit sayings, and much, much more. And it's not too long. Do consider checking out this month's issue and also subscribe. The links are in the description of this episode. The transcript of this podcast is available on discoveratma.com/category/podcast. I would love to hear from you. If you have a request or a reflection, please write to me at swaminiji@discoveratma.com. That's swaminiji@discoveratma.com. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.